they came to present themselves. Part 2. This message was preached by Brother Amos on Thursday, the 5th of July, 2007, at Bible Faith Tabernacle, Lagos. It is the concluding part of the message he started on Tuesday, the 3rd of July, 2007. God bless you all. It is nice to be together one more time. We just want to bow our heads in prayer before we go into our message. Brother Amos prayed. Let us open our Bibles to the book of Job chapter 1. We started a message on Tuesday, which I want to bring to a close today. It is titled, They Came to Present Themselves. Job chapter 1 verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. We see the same thing take place again in chapter 2, from verse 1. Again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. Why does Satan come to present himself among them when he is not one of them? It is accusatory. It is to accuse them. Who are the sons of God? The sons of God are God's redeemed children. That is a title they bear and are represented here by angels in heaven, the guardian angelic helpers. And that is why we were saying something. God has always used angels for various purposes. But look at it. God manifested himself to Moses in a burning bush. And Stephen by the Spirit of God in Acts chapter 7 says, an angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a burning bush. Yet that angel did not say, I am an angel. He said, I am that I am. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and of Jacob. Go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. Church, yet it was an angel. He spoke as God. He conveyed God's divine supernatural presence, yet an angel. Now, we come again to Revelation 1. Here came an angel on the Isle of Patmos. No, this was not a heavenly setting. This was on earth, a revelatory encounter on the Isle of Patmos. In chapter 1, he heard a great voice behind him, and he turned around to see the voice, a voice as of a trumpet. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says he saw one like, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw one like unto the Son of Man. John knew Jesus the Christ. He walked with him for 3.5 years. He ate with him. He slept with him. He walked up and down the whole of Israel with him. He even rested on his bosom at the Last Supper when the other disciples urged him, ask him, who is he that is to betray thee? Because he was the disciple Jesus loved. So he knew Jesus the Christ personally. And it is the same John the beloved apostle who saw that manifestation on the Isle of Patmos. What did he say? I saw one like. He did not say, I saw Jesus. No. He said, one like unto him. Why? Because he knew Jesus. He knew the Son of Man in reality. He lived with him for 3.5 years, much enough for him to be able to identify or distinguish something that is not really him. He did not call this angel Jesus. He knew it was not him. That is why he said, I saw one like unto the Son of Man, one like him in appearance or manifestation. So he knew this supernatural being was different. But yet, he was conveying to John the image of somebody he knew, the image of Jesus the Christ. That is why he said, I saw one like unto the Son of Man. He did not say, I saw the Son of Man. No. It is one like him, because he knows the Son of Man in flesh and blood, much enough to know that that was not him. Yet, the one like him spoke as though he were Christ himself. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. I am he that liveth, and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. He spoke as Christ. And yet, that was an angel. How do we know that, Brother Amos? When you come to Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. Brothers and sisters, John fell down at his feet to worship him. But the angel said, don't worship me, worship God. And he said, I am your fellow servant. Because angels are ministering spirits. They are also servants of God, ministering in a higher capacity than human ministers. As a matter of fact, Revelation chapter 1 verse 1 confirms this truth. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. What did Hebrews chapter 1 verse 7 also say of angels? Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers, those are preachers, a flame of fire. Do not mix both together. The flames of fire represent the ministry, because they are a torch, men anointed of God to bear the light of Christ for God's people. He makes angels spirits, but his preachers, flames of fire. That is why Jesus said, John was a burning and shining light. He said, you rejoice to walk in his light for a season. It is the revelation they bear that make them flames of fire. But do not mix both categories up. I have gone into that to show you something. Angels have always been used by God to characterize certain personalities and convey images of beings that God desires their image to be conveyed to his people. Sometimes, servants of God will say, I saw Brother Branham. He came to me in a vision. It is not Brother Branham, it is an angel. But brother, when that angel comes, he carries on Brother Branham's image, as though he were Brother Branham. And that is why we can say, I saw a vision of Brother Branham yesterday. He told me this and that. And it is true. It is Brother Branham, yet it is not Brother Branham, because it is really an angel taking on Brother Branham's form and appearing in his person. Are you with me? Nevertheless, what God wants you to catch is what you have caught. Brother Branham came to you to pass some instruction to you. And let me tell you this, God will not use a contrary image to speak to any of his children. Are you listening to me? He will not use a contrary image to carry a revelation or a spiritual instruction to you. As such, God cannot use the image of the Pope, for instance, to come to you to give you an instruction. God will not do that. Are you listening to me? All right. But let us leave that. Church, one thing stands clear. Angels are under God's anointing and authority to convey any image God deems fit to carry a message to his own children, so they can manifest in any particular form that is necessary to carry a message. They appear like men. Sometimes they can come like old men, whatever God desires. But when you look at Job chapter 1, there came a day when the sons of God came to present themselves. Church, what was this presentation about? The presentation is for a progress report. Are you listening to me? I said it is for a progress report. They have to come to God for a progress report. And please do not deny this revelation of progress reporting or think it strange. Simply because God is omniscient, that is, God is all-knowing. God is all-knowing, but yet he came to Cain in Genesis 4 to get Cain to do right, even though he knew Cain would not believe or comply. But this helps us to see the fairness and the long-suffering of God, and the wickedness of Cain. The Bible also tells us that God knows what we have need of ever before we ask him, yet God requires that we ask him for our needs. God also knows all the evil that went on in Sodom and Gomorrah, but yet in Genesis 18 verse 20 to 21, God told Abraham he would go there to investigate. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now, and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, or according to the report of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. God knew everything, but yet he still came to investigate. I have to say this, if the investigative judgment of God here in Genesis 18 and 19 cannot be denied, and it does not take away the omniscience of God, neither can the progress reporting of the sons of God be denied, and it also does not take away God's omniscience. As seeds of God, we must understand the ways of our God and his equity and justice. It lets us see the fairness of God's judgment. The progress report filed for and on our behalf helps Christ to channel his intercessory ministry for the saints on the spiritual requirements of our individual lives. Hence, a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. This is strictly a Bible issue. And it definitely has a Bible answer. You cannot go outside the scriptures for an answer. We have to look strictly in the mirror of the Word of God for the answer. That is settled. So it is a day that God ordains that all God's sons appear before him, for progress reporting, and that goes on even now. It is strictly a heavenly setting, but the issue is that we are here on earth. So, how do we go up there to appear before God? Our guardian angel goes on our behalf, characterizing our very image before the throne of God. These are angels who are with us day and night, and have been with us all our lives, invisible spirits, who know everything we do and say, and every thought we think. But this is not a theophany. Remember, a theophany is God manifesting under the Old Testament in a temporary material body, foreshadowing Christ, a body which has no life or existence of its own, save the love of God that manifests through it. These ones in the job setting are not theophanies. They are angels, who take on our very form, but yet angels. And they stand before God in a representative capacity, conveying our image. That is what makes it the appearance of the sons of God. And at such times, Lucifer, that fallen angel, also has access to the throne of God, because do not forget, he is the accuser of the brethren. He is not the accuser of angels, he is the accuser of the brethren. So what does he go there to do? He does not go there to accuse an angel, he goes to accuse you and I. When? On a day we sons of God are to present ourselves. No, you and I do not know that, and we do not go there physically. But it is a day of progress reporting. A day when God demands progress reports. That is a time Lucifer comes to. To do what? To accuse us. To oppose us. A beautiful example of this angelic representation before the throne of God and the opposition of Satan is conveyed in the prophetic vision God gave a young prophet, Zechariah, in the days of Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, concerning Joshua, the high priest. We find it in Zechariah 3 verses 1 to 7. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, an angel who conveyed God's divine presence and authority in that heavenly vision. So, Joshua was standing implicitly before the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him, before God. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this, speaking of Joshua, a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head, and clothed him with garments, all in the presence of Satan and in spite of his opposition. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk. Watch now. Among these that stand by, who are those? Sons of God by angelic representation. Praise God. This prophetic setting gives you the state of Joshua at his call, a son of God who presented himself, the opposition of Satan, and the overriding mercy of the Lord. Zechariah saw it by prophetic revelation. But the main focus of my message today, having scripturally identified the sons of God who presented themselves, is the accusatory role of Satan. That is what our focus will now be, for his role in these settings is accusatory. He is the accuser. We will end our message tonight with Revelation chapter 12, for Satan is the accuser of the brethren. But do not forget, the brethren he accuses are down here, the living sons of God, not the dead saints. We are down here, but in a representative capacity, we are up there. Are you with me? That is why the Bible did not say Satan is also one of them. It says he comes among them. So, that excludes him from them, but he has a role to play, because he is the accuser of the brethren. And what better time to accuse them than the day the sons of God appear? But how can they appear when they are on earth? That is why their guardian angel makes a representation for them. And brother, as you are sitting here tonight, there is an angel who is standing before the throne of God in your very image, beholding the face of God, on your very behalf. Thus saith the Lord, thus saith the word of God. Matthew 18:10. Now we have the blood of Jesus Christ to plead for us on the mercy seat against the accusations of the devil. But before Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, God made a way of atonement looking forward. It is by the blood of bulls and goats, which could not take away sin, but it covered it and pushed it forward. And church, that is why when you read Job chapter 1, before you come to verse 6, Job always made sacrifices, saying, "Peradventure my children have sinned against God." So they were covered by the blood. Are you with me? So church, in those days, before Jesus came, if the devil came and accused God's children, do you know what will be done? The angel of God's people would point to the blood and say, "Father, see the blood. He is under the blood." Hallelujah. That just silences our accuser before the throne. But church, the blood of Jesus Christ speaks of better things and greater things than the blood of goats and bulls that could not really take away sin. For if it could take away sin, there would be no remembrance of sin every year, offering the same sacrifice year in, year out. So today, in heaven, we have a great advocate, the man Jesus, sitting up there, interceding for you and I, for he shed his blood for us. And when the devil comes to accuse us at the time when the sons of God present themselves before the Lord, for Satan must come at such time, when he finishes all his accusations, a voice will echo from the altar, "Father, I died for him. My blood paid the price." That settles the matter. Hallelujah. And saints, when we look at Revelation 12, you have to see that Satan has been having access to the throne of God for centuries of time. Even as we now speak, he still has that access. But one of these days, as we showed previously, that access is going to cease. It will stop. Look at Revelation chapter 12. We will take it from verse 7. "And there was war in heaven. Michael, the captain of the Lord's hosts, and his angels fought against the dragon." That is Lucifer. "And the dragon fought and his angels." When will this war start? Remember, it is a war fought in the spirit world in heaven. This war of angels starts at the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel. Remember, the last week will start before we go up. Can I hear amen? We are going to see the opening of it according to Tothes 2:1-3. So we are going to see the ministry of the two Jewish prophets, just the beginning of it, before we go up in the rapture. Church, this battle is the battle for the control of the heavens, the sky above the earth. The bride is going up, and Satan is coming down. We do not need him in the heavenly realm. God is going to rear the heavens of his presence. He and the other fallen angels are coming down, for they will be driven down by the middle of the week to embed themselves in the human society. That is when you will see men, brute beasts, absolute sadists, see an innocent person coming down the road, and unprovoked, they will snap that person's neck. And they will go on as though they did nothing. Demon possessed people. Why do you think we have sadists in the world today? Sadists. "I don't like your face at all. I don't like you." And they come, lure innocent people away, torture them mercilessly before killing them. And they joke, "Ah, this one doesn't even have strength. He is such a chicken." And they walk away with horrifying murder, like they did nothing. Why do you think they are sadists? The more you cry, the happier they are. Pain thrills them. Sadists, when they torture, they enjoy the agonizing and most painful effects it has on their victims. Obviously, you do not know about sadists. I say that because you are looking at me strangely. Go to the West. Go to the Western world. That is where you have that spirit in abundance. Sadists and serial killers. Pain gives them joy. No, not their own pain. Somebody else's pain gives them joy. That is why they devise all sorts of unimaginable means to torture men before they kill them eventually. They force torture. The things happening in the West today is horrifying and terrifying. You know this world is Satan's Eden. It truly is. What a world. That is the pathetic state of the Western world today. That is a notorious fact. You can't imagine what this world will be like in the last half of the 70th week of Daniel. Thank God the bride will be up in glory. Church, the war we are talking about in Revelation chapter 12 is for the control of the sky. God does not want these fallen angels in that heavenly atmosphere any longer. They are literally going to be driven down to earth. And when they are driven down, they embed themselves in the human society. Then watch out. Thank God we will not be here, Brother Victor. Thank God we will not be here. Brother, in the day, man will become worse than beasts. There will be walking demons, walking devils. I was listening to the news on WWF wrestling. These demon possessed wrestlers. One of them killed his wife, killed his child, and killed himself. What do you expect? That sport is demonic. That wrestling program is very demonic. Church, the Bible says in Revelation 12:7, and there was war in heaven, that is in the sky. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, i.e., Lucifer prevailed not. Neither was the place found any more in heaven for them. They will not control the skies anymore. They will not operate from the skies anymore. They will be here, existing within the human society. What a world it will be. What an hour that will be. That war starts in the beginning of the last week. But by the time we come to the middle of the week, the war is over. Michael with the angels of God win that battle and cast those fallen angels down. And church, that is when Lucifer, that age-old serpent, comes down to earth. He is no longer in the skies, controlling from the skies. He is here on earth in human society. What an era. Thank God we will be up. That is why I said, the bride go up, and Satan eventually comes down. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil, and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation, and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. What does that show you? Before then, and unto then, that is, before the war starts, he has access to the throne of God, because he is our adversary and our accuser. He has access, even as we speak tonight. That is why, as a child of God, we must be very conscious of the fact that we have an adversary who has an access into divine presence to relay all we do that nobody sees. Unseen angels see it all. As such, we do not want to walk in such a way as to bring reproach. We do not want the name of the Lord to be spoken of Lucifer to come before the Lord and make jest, I saw your daughter today. Your daughter. Oh, I saw your son today. Wonderful son. He is a disgrace. He did this and that. Since, if God could make boast of Job in the face of the devil, he should do the same of you too. He should. And yet, Job was under the blood of goats and bulls. How much more should God be able to boast of us who are under the blood of the Son of God? Think about it. May God help us. But church, Satan still has access. That access will cease, brothers, from the beginning of the week. It will cease from the beginning of the week. Why do I say that? Because once the war in heaven starts, his access ceases. He will no longer have access to God's presence. You know why? We are going up, and when we do not need his presence when we are enjoying ourselves in glory. Hallelujah. It is our marriage and honeymoon. So, I ask, who is he going to accuse when redemption is over? Our work is done, we have overcome. The grace age is finished, and Christ has his bride. Hallelujah. Jesus has his bride then, so we do not need the adversary. He has served his purpose because he is the means of our trial. And he is a very faithful messenger, only he does not know it. He cannot do more to you than God allows him. Let me tell you, God sets the parameters. You say he does not. Come with me to Job chapter 1, for we must ask, doesn't God know what I am going through? Before you went through it, he had marked that parameter for you. As such, you cannot tell me he does not know. He does. He sees everything and knows everything. Verse 6, Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them, because he has come to accuse you and I. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord, and said, From going to and fro in the earth, because he does not rest. The devil goeth around like a roaring lion, seeking whom to devour, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God, and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord, and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Is it for nothing? Who would not fear you when you bless him? Just look at him. He has goods. He has cars. He has houses. He has lands. He has everything. Look at his shipping line. He has 10 ships, 10 vessels on the ocean. And you say he won't serve you. Who else will he serve? Who do you expect him to serve? He is contesting with God over Job's faithfulness, wanting to impute motive, kind of selfish motive. He is accusing Job of selfish obedience. So God said, You think so? He said, Yes. Touch what he has. Let all those vessels sink. And you know, all those beautiful girls that you give him, those lovely boys, his children, touch them, and let us see if he will not get up and curse you. Satan told God that. Remember, when we come to Revelation 12, the rite ceases. God allows it for now, because he is still being used to test you and I. Yes. The fire we pass through, he is the one that creates that fire of trial. Sometimes he says to God, Let it be very hot. But God responds, No, no, that is too much. Okay, this is the measure of fire you are allowed to create for him. Oh my! And just when you think you have had enough, God can say, Okay, you can now increase it. Simply because Satan has argued that if he did, God's child would capitulate, i.e., throw in the towel or give up the faith, if the fire is increased a little bit more. Satan's reasoning is this, he is only hanging by a breath. If I increase this fire, he will curse you now. So God says, Okay, increase it. But not more than this extent. And when you think you cannot bear it anymore, just when you think it cannot continue, the fire will even intensify, and you will still stay with the faith. You will still stand for truth. You will stand still. With all your complaining and murmuring, you will still stand. Glory to God. As low as you may be in the spirit, if you meet someone in the movement, and he says to you, There is no more revelation, you will come alive. You will forget you have not eaten the day. You will forget the bill that has worried you all week. All your loneliness and sadness will disappear, even if momentarily, and you will retort, Who told you that? What have you been reading? Who have you been listening to? Have you no Bible? There is no more what? No more revelation. You will forget your sorrow for the day. Something in you is ignited, and you suddenly come alive. Praise God. It happened to you. It happened to me too. All your weakness and weariness just disappears. Because you hear one nonsensical statement that lacks revelation, a statement that is contrary to truth, you will leave the place shaking your head unbelievably, thinking, What is this one talking about? Because there is continuity of scriptural revelation. And Satan will feel so small, so shocked, thinking, Oh, what is wrong with this one? He still has time to talk about truth even in his condition. Satan becomes stupefied. Hallelujah! It is written, Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. Isaiah 8:18. Continuing on in verse 9 of Job 1, Then southeast and answered the Lord, and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But, let me tell you now, put forth thine hand now, and it is not God himself that will do it. It will be the hand of Lucifer. In other words, allow me. What he knows, brothers, he can only do it by permission. Saints, You do not need to be afraid. I said you do not need to be afraid. It is well, for there is absolutely nothing the devil can do to you without permission. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will cast thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only, God says, but a headache, even a simple headache, you cannot bring upon him. Can I hear amen? No, no, he did not say it like that, but he says, Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, to do as he had been instructed. Because God sets the parameters of tests, and Satan can do no more. God told Satan, His flesh you cannot touch, you cannot touch his body. Satan had no authority to touch his body. Only all Job had was given to Satan to touch. He could not afflict Job with any sickness or bodily pain. Oh! Lucifer came down. It was nice weather on the sea. All the vessels were destined to arrive in the next 2 hours. But suddenly, the vessels began to capsize. Vessels began to capsize. Everything went under in one day. Oh my! And all the devil was waiting for was a contrary response from Job, to prove God wrong. Before the news got to Job, Satan was already waiting with the fallen angels, to see what Job would do. Job and his household did not see him, but he was right there in Job's house that day, waiting for the news, thinking, we will now see. Job's faith was under trial. Church, Job probably sat down speechless as the news was coming one by one, one after the other, one after the other. Incredible. Everything was lost. Everything. Everything he had disappeared. The man looked, and with a deep breath, after a deep thought, Job responded, Well, even my life, it is God that gave it. If that is what God wants. Naked I came to the world, naked I go. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lucifer flew away that day. He could not believe it. We are not money preachers. I said, we are not prosperity gospel preachers. We preach the revealed word of Christ. We believe in the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revelation of life. So, whatever circumstances we face, whether it is good or bad, it is well. Hallelujah. It is well. We do not follow this way to make it in a material way. We follow this way to lay hold on life. Satan called his legion, Let's go. Leave that guy for now. Leave Job. I don't think his mind is sane. Yes, he is sane. He is sane. God did not see Satan for some time after that on Job's affair, until the day came for another progress report. Are you with me? When another day of progress reporting for God's children came, that was the day Satan came to. Remember, Job was a biangelic representation. Are you with me? Hallelujah. That brings us to chapter 2. We will close there. Verse 1. Again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. He is always coming among them, not alone, but among them. It is to accuse, because he is the accuser of the brethren. And God needs that, because he is a purifier. You understand when I say he is a purifier. He is the means of our test, yes, to make the road rough for our purification. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord, and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God, and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movedst me against him, to destroy him without cause. Saints of God, let me say this to you. Many times you do not know what conversation went on in heaven over your situation. That is why the just must live by faith. You do not know if it is God wanting to get glory out of your life, in the situation, and all you see is adversity. I said that all we see is adversity. Why will God allow this to be happening to me? Can't you see me, O Lord? Can't you see my condition? Shebe you see me, O God? That means, but surely you see me, O God. It is as good as saying, How can you allow this to happen to me? Does that sound familiar? And yet God wants to get glory. The glory is not when everything is going smoothly for you. Satan said that was why Job worshipped God. The Lord allowed Satan to take his everything away, and he still served God, out of a pure heart. His heart was perfect towards God. Precisely. And so must ours be towards God. In this religious world, a lot of people do things purely out of a secret selfish motive, a heart filled with insincerity. And look at the confidence of God for his seeds. Oh my! Verse 4. And Southeast and answered the Lord, and said, skin for skin. He did not say that before. He did not present such an argument before. But knowing he had failed in his first contest with God over Job, he now resorted to another strategy. Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will cause thee to thy face. You know God cannot say, kill him, because if he killed him, there would be no test in that. Are you with me? Because there is no test in death in this particular instance. A person who is dead cannot react, whether good or bad, to ill health. So he said, give him a disease, a serious one, whatever you will, but don't kill him. Satan gave Job a plague that cannot be hidden. Because by the time boils covered his whole body, you know he could not wear clothes. He could not wear clothes. There are some boils. If they afflict your bottom, you cannot sit. You can only sleep, lying flat on your face, or on your side. I am not talking of a small boil. I am talking of the real boils. The real thing. You cannot sit with it. You can only lie down on your side, or lie flat, face down, but not on that back. It can be that painful. And when it begins to burst, it is a different kettle of fish, particularly with Job, who was struck with it from head to toe. When it starts to burst, you cannot wear any clothing, and you cannot hide such a thing. What an eyesore! What an eyesore! What a disgusting sight! Job was a pathetic sight. All because of a conversation in heaven on the day the sons of God gathered before the Lord. All right, let us wrap up. Verse 6. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand. But God always gives the devil the boundary. But his life you can't touch. You can give him any disease you like until he is hanging in the balance, but death, no. Why doesn't Satan come and simply kill Job? He can't. He cannot do more than God allows. He cannot. That should give us some encouragement in our trials of faith, and should let us know that there is nothing that comes upon us unawares without God being aware of it and allowing it. It is allowed. You may not know the purpose. You do not need to. It is enough for you to be encouraged in God's promise, because he said, lo, I am with you, and I will be in you, to the ends of the earth. Sometimes what you are going through is not even because of anything you have done. Yet, we condemn ourselves and query ourselves. Brothers, it could be just God getting glory out of your life in the face of adversary, the devil. Because in spite of all you face, you will still go on with God in the light as a true son and daughter of God. That is why we sing, give me the power to hold on, to hold on, to hold on. Yes. May God give us the power to hold on, no matter what comes or goes. For as Apostle James implored, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, i.e., complete, wanting nothing. That is why Apostle Peter also pleaded with the saints, exhorting us, that the trial of your faith, be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory, even as Job's faith was, at the appearing of Jesus Christ. James 1:2-4, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7. Let us not forget the end of Job. It was much more glorious than at the first. Therefore, no matter what the devil throws at us, let us hold fast to the revelation of life, which Jesus Christ gives us, from the pages of the Bible. Let us stand for truth. the revealed continuity truth of Christ. It is far above anything we may face, or that the accuser of the brethren may throw on our way, on account of our faith. Remember, truth has a most glorious and humanly incomprehensible end, but faith gives us a glimpse into it. There is certainly a glorious end for the seeds of God, the seeds of faith. You know what? On the next conference day, when God sits in His glory, He will say, "Lucifer, see my daughter now. Upon all you did to my daughter all these years, see. See my son. With all you put him through, he is still standing. Praise God." Then he will find another excuse, but he must lose at the end of the day. But he will not agree to defeat. He will not agree. He leaves you only for a season. So we do not always understand. We do not always understand why we face what we face. But one thing is certain, the just shall live by faith. And one thing we know, we have found a gold mine, and the gold mine is Jesus Christ in His scriptural continuity revelation. He is more than life to us. We will walk this way. God helping us, we will walk this way. We will walk this way, firmly, faithfully, by the grace of God. We will walk this way. We will stand for truth, the continuity truth of Jesus Christ, our Savior for today. It is more than life. Church, they presented themselves. Who are they? It is God's redeemed children, the sons of God, by angelic representation, standing before the throne of God. Brother, it is our progress reports being brought to God, and at such times, Lucifer also comes to accuse the brethren. But we are happy to know this, no matter his accusations, and no matter how much he moves God to deal adversely with us, as God grants permission, we will overcome, because we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Hallelujah! Not of ourselves, but Jesus overcame for us. It is our faith, the revelation of truth will be, by which we overcome the whole world, and overcome whatever the enemy may throw. It is a revelation of Jesus Christ we possess that gives us victory. Yes. But church, all the accusations and the opposition of the enemy is only for a while, because when the hour comes that we are to go up, brother, the right is removed. Not only is it removed, it is time for him to get out of the way completely. You know why? Because we are coming up. So it is a time to rear the heavens, it is time to rear the skies, of his evil presence, and he is pushed literally down to the earth to literally take over humanity, a people who obviously do not want God, a people who all they know is to live strictly for the flesh. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now is come salvation, and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down to you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." Revelation 12:10-12. Brothers and sisters, we shall live for our God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who died to save us. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. They presented themselves. Who are they? They are the sons of God, God's redeemed family by angelic representation. You have to see it, for it is scriptural and very plain. The sons of God cannot be one thing in Genesis 6:2, 1 and 2, Luke chapter 3 verses 23 to 38, and then in Job 1:6. Be a different class of being, for the revelation of God is one. There is perfect harmony and consistency in God, and in the inspired scriptures, as well as in the revelation of truth. The sons of God are the sons of God. They never change in identity. That is a title for God's redeemed family, that is, man, and not God's angelic family, who need no redemption. For to none of them did God say at any time, "Thou art my beloved son. This day have I begotten thee." Let us bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for this evening, and for thy light. We thank you for your love for us, and for your understanding and patience, that you can bear with us in all our shortcomings, and in all our failings, and for your elective love. The love with which you love us is immeasurable. It is a wonderful love. Father, we thank you for your goodness and favor. We bless your majesty, Father. Lord, we pray tonight, just help us, O Lord, to hold on, to walk faithfully, to walk humbly in the light of truth. Give us the strength. Give us the grace. Let your light anchor in our soul. Let it burn in our soul. Lord, I pray, uphold us by your power, sustain us by thy spirit, and stand by us, my God, and see us through. We thank you, Lord. Bless every brother and sister. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you.